This is The Takeaway. All aboard. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Five states voted in yesterday's round of primary elections. All of them are Northeast Corridor stops on the Amtrak rails. By the end of the voting, it was a Trump express, though, stretching from Maryland, Delaware, through Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The Hillary Clinton train stopped at the Connecticut border. Senator Bernie Sanders won Rhode Island. Hillary won the rest. But Hillary Clinton now has 90% of the delegates needed for the Democratic nomination. On the GOP side, it's only a little less complicated. 39 states have voted now, including the District of Columbia. Donald Trump has won 26. Ted Cruz has carried 10. Alaska, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Oklahoma, Texas, Utah, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Don't try to take this down and just drive off the road. It's a radio map, okay? Marco Rubio, remember him? He snared D.C. and Minnesota, that's all. And Ohio Governor John Kasich is holding on to his beloved Ohio. That's all for him. For a closer look at what the numbers mean at this point in the campaign, we turn to Anna Palmer, senior Washington correspondent for Politico. Anne, great to talk to you.
Great to be here.
So presumptive nominee, Donald Trump at one point used that phrase to describe himself. Is that a mathematically precise term, presumptive nominee?
Yeah, I think after last night, we can really say that Trump will get to that magic number of 1237 on the first ballot at the Republican convention in Cleveland this summer. I mean, he basically blew away the competition. He won all of those five states with 29 points or more, which is just like it's unbelievable, really.
And what happened? There was going to be a contested convention, it looked like, just 3 weeks ago, but that's gone for sure, or could it come back?
I mean, it's not necessarily gone for sure. I mean, you don't have John Kasich or Ted Cruz saying they're going to drop out of the race, right? The last stand for Ted Cruz is Indiana. But the momentum really is in Donald Trump's favor. If it was any other candidate except for Donald Trump, the entire party would be going behind that candidate and would say that he is the presumptive nominee.
So the presumptive scenario for both parties is let's get this over with quickly. And it's only the fact that Donald Trump is such an unusual outlier that gives the Republicans pause. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he has really rubbed the establishment Republicans the wrong way throughout this entire race. And so hasn't worked to try to get them on board. But if it was any other candidate, they would be lining up behind him. They would be starting to really work on that general election scenario. There would be a lot more pressure on Ted Cruz and John Kasich to bow out of this race. But for all argument's sake, I mean, Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee at this point.
I don't want to sound like, you know, some naive, I don't know, wuss or something, but what is it about Donald Trump? He can say stuff that nobody else can say. You heard his remark last night about Hillary Clinton playing the women card, and if she was a man, she could only get 5%. And the beauty is that women don't even like her.
I think what we saw last night, I mean, Donald Trump
about?
Is Teflon, right? He's political Teflon. If any other candidate said half of the things that he's said for the past several months, they would be forced to have a press conference, apologize, and then probably drop out. I think what we saw last night was a preview into what he does. He's trying to start this general election scenario, and he really gets these narratives going, whether it was low energy for Jeb Bush, you know, Marco Rubio he critiqued, or, you know, lying Ted Cruz he talks about. And so I think he's trying to kind of test market in a way in the political sphere a new way to frame Hillary Clinton and how he can try and take her on.
Well, Hillary Clinton was ready. She said, "Deal me in if you're talking about equal rights for women, et cetera." And she's going to go toe to toe. But is there any sense that she is vulnerable in this women don't like her thing?
I don't know exactly if she's vulnerable on the women card, but she certainly has had issues, right? I mean, Madeleine Albright famously or infamously earlier in this race got taken to the woodshed for some comments she made about you need to be with Hillary because she's a woman. She has had some vulnerabilities with younger women, younger voters in particular. And so I think that's one of the issues that her campaign is really going to have to deal with, is trying to find that enthusiasm that Bernie Sanders has really captured with the youth vote and young women voters, and trying to capture that in the general election.
What has to happen in Indiana in 2 weeks for either Sanders or Cruz to bow out?
I mean, I think that if you have a Donald Trump, you know, winning decisively in Indiana, the case for Ted Cruz to remain in the race is very weak. I don't know whether that he will actually take that as a sign that he needs to step down and or if he'll continue that all the way through California or not. But at that point, I mean, really, there's just no mathematical ability or even, you know, kind of calculation that they can even point to say, I have a reason to be in this race.
Doing the math for us, Anna Palmer, senior Washington correspondent for Politico. Anna, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.